In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Son of the King is the eternal, self-sufficient Word, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, the Son of God, of equal essence with the Father, and yet eternally begotten from the Father. For him, God the Father, the King, prepared a wedding feast. This wedding is the Christian church on earth, and every member in it is betrothed to be the bride of Christ. As husband and wife are flesh of flesh and bone of bone, not two but one, so Christ and his church are flesh of flesh, bone of bone, not two but one. You've heard me speak on this before. But we might also understand this wedding as the union between the divine and the human nature of Christ. As the two become one flesh in marriage, so by the personal union, the divine and the human natures of Christ become one in the person of, or are united in the person of Jesus. God is man, and this man is God. For God so loved his creation that he did not want to be separated from it, but he wanted to dwell in our human nature. He desired union with our flesh and blood, to live with his creation on this earth and to enjoy all the gifts of this creation as a man. And so even now after his ascension, he did not set aside his human nature or cast it aside in any way. For as a husband never leaves his wife behind, so also Christ has exalted his human nature to the very right hand of God. He rules heaven and earth through his pierced hands. And as a bride receives all good things from her husband, so also the Son of God has bestowed on his human nature divine possessions. His human mind knows all things. His human hands can do all things. His human flesh is present wherever two or three gather in his name. His humanity has received all authority in heaven and on earth, and he uses that authority for the salvation of man. And so the incarnation is our delight. Christmas is a joy to ponder, not the shepherds, the stable, or the angels, but the eternal reality that God is man. Indeed, he loves us. So he took on our human flesh to raise us up who had fallen, so that we might once more commune with God. What sin has destroyed, Christ has reestablished. Christmas is the beginning of the wedding feast. Good Friday prepares the meal. Easter makes it eternal. For if God did not have flesh, there would be no supper. If God did not have blood, there would be no feast. And the call to celebrate all this goes out to all. Many ignore it. Others are hostile toward the servants, but do not take it personally. Their anger or indifference is not against you, but against Jesus. And the king grieves, even as he grieved in the days of Noah. How many do not want him? God became man for them. He died and sacrificed himself for them. He prepares this holy supper for them, but they do not care. They have other things they would rather do on Sunday morning. And so destruction will destroy those murderers. Christ calls all of them murderers, whether they were indifferent or whether they actually seized the servants. All of them are murderers, for anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and they hate their brother Jesus. They hate him by stripping him of his divinity, his glory, his power, and his salvation, and saying that he is nothing more than a mere human being. And so they will all be destroyed with hellfire. An example of this was seen in the Jews and the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. 40 years after our Lord's ascension, how patient he was with them, sending to them not only his apostles, but also other ministers to preach to them that Christ is their God and Savior. And yet they did not love him. So also it will be true of all who hear about Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter, and yet do not come to celebrate the wedding feast by eating of his body and drinking of his blood for their eternal salvation. But we also must be warned that destruction comes upon those who eat this supper and yet do not recognize the body and blood of the Lord. The incarnation is crucial to this supper. Today, this supper is prepared before you. So it is important that each one of you examine how you approach it. All who excuse themselves are evil, but not all who enter are properly prepared. One man lacked the wedding garment. So what is this wedding garment? It is faith. A faith that clings to the righteousness of Christ first given in holy baptism. It is faith that trusts not in itself, but trusts in Christ for its salvation. Outward preparation is certainly good, fine training. But he is truly worthy and well prepared to eat and to drink the body and blood of Christ. He is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Knowledge of doctrine does not make you worthy. Being a certain age does not make you worthy. Fasting, getting dressed up, confirmation, or any other human rite does not make you worthy to eat this supper. Faith alone makes you worthy. So since the man lost his faith, he lost the righteousness of Christ given to him in baptism. And now he stands before the king in his own sinful garments. And who is good enough? Who is worthy enough? Who is holy enough to merit heaven on his own? All have sinned. Though the man knows about Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter, he no longer trusts in Christ for his salvation. But I also must say to you this. Though I am the one who invites you, God is the one who judges. Though I can be deceived, God cannot. He judges not your outward clothing, but the clothing of your heart. He judges not your age, but faith. He judges not your doctrinal knowledge, but your trust in Christ. And as the man was speechless before the king, so no one can respond to him who sees the intents of the heart. The unworthy will be cast out into outer darkness, but not immediately. As the Lord was patient with the Jews for 40 years, so he is also patient. There is a delay. He desires all to repent. He wants none to perish eternally. So examine your hearts with sincerity and truth so that what you eat may be of some benefit to you. You've seen how quickly lives can change in a moment, in a week, with one storm. And so confess your sins, not because it's written in some bulletin, but because it's written on your heart. For if we say we have no sin, if we say that we can earn heaven by what we do, if we say that we have been pretty good this past week, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Remember that God is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God dwelling in our flesh and blood to walk among us so that he might redeem us by his death. He lives and all things are now ready. So come to the feast. Come to his feast. Celebrate Christmas. Rejoice in Good Friday. Sing for joy over Easter. You may be the good. You may be the bad. And yet both were invited. Both are called to believe that God is man for their salvation. It is Christ's righteousness that clothes you. It is his righteousness that makes you worthy to stand here, to listen, to come forward, and to kneel. Regardless if you have the best life lived of any human being, it is Christ who makes you worthy in Christ alone. Regardless if you have lived the most horrendous life and are still haunted by some sins of your youth, know that Christ's righteousness still covers you. He makes you worthy. So what matters is faith. Faith that trusts not in itself, but that recognizes its own sinfulness and looks to your brother for salvation. For God has not abandoned you, but he has called you to rejoice in the person of his Son and the salvation that he has won. The unworthy are impenitent, They do not believe what the Bible says about them to be true. They do not believe what the Bible says about Christ to be true. And so they shortchange him of his love, his atonement, his forgiveness, his compassion. And if they eat and drink, they still eat and drink his body and blood, but they do not receive any blessing from it. They receive only judgment. And if they do not repent, the king will bind them hand and foot at the last, exposing them as faithless, and toss them into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, a fire that breeds only darkness, a destruction that leads to perpetual weeping. They are judged with the murderers because they do not love Jesus. So heed this warning. Being in the right place cannot save you. Getting dressed up cannot deceive the king. Going through the right ceremonies cannot prevent the angels from throwing you out. Faith alone saves. Faith alone makes you worthy to eat this supper today. So come to the feast, for God still has flesh. God still has blood. He is still your Savior today. Though you have sinned, this feast is for sinners. Though you are unworthy in and of yourself, his garments make you worthy. So eat it, not in sadness, but in joy. Drink, not in sorrow, but in faith. Take your time. Savor the gift. It is the salvation of your souls. For the Word became flesh so that you might celebrate this holy supper. The Word became flesh. Rejoice and eat. The Word became flesh. Heaven worships, and you are saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.